Yeah.
When you were talking about the killer named Holmes, I kept thinking about the Batman shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And no, this was a different Holmes.
No. Of course. I know. But I'm saying, in my mind, I went there. We're talking about this man who killed these people named Holmes, and I'm thinking about the man named Holmes who dressed up as a serial killer. And here, which everyone tied into, he was in Aurora, but here we tie into the nearby Columbine High School, which so named after Columbia.
A book that when I was a kid that pertains to the Holiday House that I read was one by Clive Barker called The Thief of Always. Are either of you guys familiar with that?
No.
No, not at all.
It's a cool book. It's like a weird one for Barker because he wrote it for like total mid-level readers. And I think I was in about fifth grade when I read it. And it's about a kid who kind of wishes, you know, is really bored, and he's whisked away to this house that has everything that he wants. And it's like Easter in the morning for breakfast. Afternoon comes around, it's fall, it's Thanksgiving. Then around 10 o'clock, 11, it's Halloween. And at midnight, it's Christmas, and like something like that. And it's, you know, fabulous. But those are actual years going by in the real world. So when he escapes this house that is actually living off his energy, he goes back to his parents' house, and they're old. You know, they've aged 20 years, and he knows he has to beat this house somehow. And one of the sink things before I was really understanding what was going on between me and the singer, it had come up that we had both read that. Our jaws dropped because it's not a popular book, and especially not for Clive Barker, who's works are notorious, but, you know, this is one, like, weird children's book he pumped out in the 90s that, like, no one really that I ever speak to has ever read. And we had both read it, and we were like, what is that, the core of that? And we were like, well, it's the Holiday House, you know, that's what's, is it good? Should we stay there, should we not? Well, that's what it is, you know. It's, and I was thinking today, before talking to you guys, I was thinking, like, that's also the Overlook, you know. It's the made believe house where time is skewed and you don't know, you know, it tricks you into, you know, it's a mirage, and it is actually inherently kind of evil, but it's so tempting to stay there, you know?
Right. Which I'm really glad that you invoke the Overlook.
I had never
the murder hotel.
Yeah. Just because, yeah. I mean, that's something that you don't get in the film. That you get from Stephen King's book, though, is that the foundation of the Overlook is dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though the grandeur, the splendor, it's politically speaking, it's dirty, dirty criminals. It's the Godfather. Mm-hmm. These aren't good people.
Right.
So, I want to point out one more quick little tangent here. Is you guys are talking about Eric Larson. This writer, Eric Larson, who I was not familiar with, but I was like, I wonder if it's the same Eric Larson, the comic book Eric Larson, who it's not.
Yeah.
You guys familiar with a comic book called The Savage Dragon?
Oh, yeah.
Right, so it's also Eric Larson, different guy, but apparently The Savage Dragon, it says here, according to Wikipedia, the Savage Dragon is a large, finned, green-skinned humanoid. He's also an amnesiac. His earliest memory is awakening in a burning field in Chicago, Illinois. And I was like, that's kind of freaking bizarre.
Hell yeah. Jeez.
But, yeah, so, you know, there's all these.
So then, this is my boilerplate question, but did you find that your brain has always worked this way, and that when you found this stuff, it was just articulating the way you thought already, or was it actually program you on some level also, or a combination of both?
I would explain it in the way that it's like, you know, if you're going to eat mushrooms, you're already beset on that path. Like, something's itching you to do it. And once you do it, you're like, oh my God, you know, like, is this, does everybody know about this? You know, like you know what I mean? It's like, and then what made me do that? What made me do something so crazy? You know, cause like you hear horror stories and, you know, but something's just, there's one thing that's not going to stop you from eating this shitty, disgusting, you know, that you get from some dirty kid that, you know, like, you're still going to eat this thing and it tastes horrible and it's going to blow your ass away. And then you're wondering, you know, whatever would make you do that. So I don't know.
You bought the ticket to the fair. You take the ride though, right?
Yeah, that's it. Definitely. I had a very close friend pass when we were both too young, at 18, and I started, there was weird things about that that were really, really potent, dreams and, just synchronicities with my friends, like songs that would come on jukeboxes. And, this one dream I had before his funeral where he actually like said things to me. Yeah. And the last night that I saw him too, where I was like wondering, you know, I was like, what, you know, thinking back on it. So that at an early age, that kind of kicked me into it a little bit too.
So go ahead.
No,
I'm
just so like, it's back to the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, so how is Jack Torrance really? I know how I am. And I want The Shining to have a happy ending. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
There's your sink. My great great grandfather, his name was Fred, the one I was reading about at the beginning.
Yeah. Fred Rogers from Pittsburgh. He was just a guy. Just a guy.
That's a type of power that, you know, when we're all artists here, and you know, I see people who do things in, you know, whether or not conspiratorially nefarious or just, you know, sort of like using your music to sell Pepsi, you know, that's kind of nefarious in its own way, right?
Right.
But if you can use your art and any kind of notoriety you get from it to do something powerful and positive, that's the golden dream right there. So
that goes to Hicks for me, you know, like he had a hatred for using art to sell untouched by anybody else. That guy really had a problem with it, you know, like he had visions of, you know, Jay Leno putting an AK in his mouth and, you know, blowing his head off during a show, and it, you know, painting a peacock on the back wall of his TV set just for selling Doritos. He had issues with the selling of art, and that would have to be hard, you know. I the Holiday House isn't around anymore. It was a blowout in every sense, and I'm sometimes thankful that, you know, that we didn't have to, like, work to do a follow-up that just wouldn't have. Geez, I tried to think of, like, if that had done something, and then, like, to write, okay, so do it again. You know, like, okay, so that's good. Now work out another one. That would be completely crazy, and I can't think of a better way to set up for failure, you know, than to just ask that of an artist, you know, like, off anything successful, you know, just to turn around and spit it out again. I'm a big... I never hear you guys talk about the band Tool, but that's that would lead into some crazy sync stuff, I think. They do, you know, they write songs based on Fibonacci sequence and like do some really cool stuff, but I don't know if that connects with you guys at all.
Well, it does in the sense that I've actually seen them live. So I'm familiar with them. I'm also familiar with that. What, if you had to consider after Tool, what do you sort of members of it go on to create something called the Perfect Circle?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that Savage Dragon fights, some of that Savage Dragon comic, I think his main bad guys were called something like the Perfect Circles or Full mm-hmm. Circles or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And the Vicious Circle, excuse me, the Vicious Circle.
Huh.
And
which is your
Perfect
Circle.
And that's where I was going, is exactly. And I to me, that's the Wheel of Fortune. You know, that's it. Sort of seems really ever present. So.
Yeah, and the member, it's the singer of Tool that did that, and the members of Tool kind of had to eat that, you know, like that perfect circle, that vicious circle, because, you know, it took him away from them, and they're not going to work without him.
Wasn't one of the members of Smashing Pumpkins was in that? Speaking of, Doug was talking about Jimmy Corrigan. Is that Billy Corrigan?
No, it was the member in Perfect Circle was James Iha, who's from Chicago.
Yeah, no, I know it wasn't Billy who was in Perfect Circle, but Doug was sort of hinting at that before, so.
Oh, okay.
Am I correct, Doug?
Yeah, for whatever reason, that's one of those. Jimmy Corrigan, when I try and explain this comic book to people, they think, Billy Corrigan? What are you talking about? And then the Smashing Pumpkins have a brand new album right now with Tommy Lee, the drummer of Motley Crue. The world is going bizarro this year. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, guys. I'm sorry if I went a little crazy at the end.
You were great. It was great. It was perfect. We'll see what happens when we start editing this. Because I didn't start the clock. I'm so used to my baby.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure at the end if we were off clock or not.
Yeah,
I was thinking. I mean, I'll listen to it, but I was thinking probably around there seemed like a really good cut point, just like, I don't know, like 6 minutes ago. I'm gonna look for it, but I liked where you were going. I want to leave Batman in there because I talked about Batman at the beginning, but we'll sort of see how it all comes out in the wash.
Yeah, I agree. I don't. Yeah, I mean, so this is hard because I'm so used to the format as it is without any Radio 8 Ball at the beginning, and so I totally lost my bearings.
Mm. Oh man, that Radio 8 Ball thing. I mean, I was freaking out all day about what the hell I was going to ask it, and that was spur of the moment, and that song played, jeez, that kind of threw me off, and I felt like we got down to kind of like a super heavy start, but
yeah, but
I mean, you know, that was crazy. That was nice.
Well, it's cool because, so I don't know if you know this, but in Boise there's this spring music festival that is kind of like after South by Southwest, so a lot of bands go from there to here, or not a lot, but many bands do that. And so this will kind of lead into that month of shows. So it's like,
cool.
Yeah, music. I mean, so we don't do anything but bands in March in honor of that. And then I get free tickets to it, so which is fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of Tool, crazy, if I can get a hold of that, I know the guitarist is really, really into occult and esoteric things. And I haven't been able to figure out... Say again?
The drummer of Tool is Danny Carey, and he is... I think he has the world's largest collection of original first print Crowley books.
Interesting.
I want to say.
Yeah, see, I want to get those guys.
He's a mess.
I want to get them. I'm going to get him.
Yes. And I've met him, and he's a cool dude. He's a very laid-back guy for a Grammy winner. He's awesome. Did you, Alan or Doug, did you guys read Dr. Sleep?
No, and I keep meaning to, but
no,
it's...
No. Yeah, not yet.
You guys, it's badass.
Is it really?
Yeah, I held off on it, and now I feel like a jerk because it is just so... It's kind of kick-ass, man. It's such a strange sequel. And I was thinking of it just tonight because I just finished it yesterday. And I was thinking, like, the movie is actually so much more ripe for a sequel than the book, because the house survived. The house wins, sort of, in its ways in the movie, right?
Right.
That's so much more open. All that King had was Danny and Wendy. And Doc, which are like awesome characters to explore 20 years down the road as survivors of this thing. You know, starting there is I think super interesting. I didn't think so at first, and I thought it'd be super cheesy, but it's nuts. Like Danny just has to, I'm not giving anything away here, it's on the back of the cover, but he has to start the heavy drink to close the Shining down, to like, keep these things at, you know, to keep Tony and all that stuff at bay. He just, you know, like anybody else would, he just starts throwing them back and he finds himself in a real pickle because of it, you know.
But then, isn't it vampires?
You know, it's kind
and
of...
And so that
I
was
maybe
where my reluctance came from, is like, oh, Danny has to fight vampires. Thanks, Stephen King.
I get it. Yeah, it's hard. But I mean, I thought it was cool. And truth be told, I did the audiobook, which was just on my commute. But it was cool. It was fun. It's just kind of like I just can't help but think of Danny as a 30-year-old. You know, like
I tried
that's
to get
just,
that guy on the show too. The actor who played Danny, because he's like a science.
Danny Boyd.
Yeah, he. What?
Danny
Torrance.
Boyd. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Are you messing with me, Alan?
What do you mean?
Danny Boy?
The actor's name is Danny Lloyd.
Oh, okay. I kept thinking you're saying Danny Boy? Danny Boy?
Like, no.
What does that mean?
He's 42 years old, and he's from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, snaps.
Right. And he's just like a science teacher now.
Right.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, the money he could make from just convention, like, you know, nerdling conventions, you know, like he could pick up. There's people that do so much less that pay bills with it. Like I went to a Return of the Living Dead thing and like there was some actress from it there, you know, and they're like, if you all donate in the audience, she can pay her mortgage. And people are putting money in it. And like that guy would just clean up. That's a dedication to not, you know, not reaping the benefits. The guy is not cashing in on that.
But just being open to crazy, though, must... Because we we feel like we have an intimacy with him that we really don't, because he was just... He was a mask.
Right. Yeah. And there's that story of Kubrick, like, staring at his eyes, and, like, they got all uncomfortable. He's like, oh, don't mind me. I'm just making sure you're real. You know, like the auditions that he had to go through. Did you guys ever hear the conversation that King had with Kubrick when Kubrick called him to ask him about doing The Shining?
No.
He King was super hungover and shaving, and his wife was like, "Honey, Stanley Kubrick's on the phone." And Stephen King was like, oh, shit. And he was in the middle of shaving, but he knew he had to take it. And so he's like, hello. And he's like, hello, Mr. Kubrick. And he says, this voice says, call me Stanley. So he says, okay, Stanley, how are you? And he's like, I like the fact that your books give promise to an afterlife. And Stephen King's like, okay, but... what about hell? And Stanley Kubrick goes, I don't believe in hell. And then, like, it just gets weird, and he hangs up soon after that. And so it's like, I think I just fucked that conversation up.
I've got to check that out. No, I mean, there's so many, you know, like, sort of urban legends and myths around that relationship that it's... That in itself is such a fascinating little rabbit hole.
Well, that's from King, though. That's my best impression of what I heard him say. And then the other quick one was that Kubrick bummed a cigarette from King on the set of Shining, and he smoked it down to the nub without saying anything to Steven. And then when it was down in the nub, he pearled it into a little ball and opened an Altoids case and put it in where there was like 24 other little balls of cigarette butts. And he was like, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen. I love those stories. I just, that's the kind of stuff, you know, the sweetness with whatever said about the two of them, like that kind of like little nugget, just, you know, that just makes it all.
Well, it's probably getting late in Chicago.
It is, it is.
And I need to probably whip children.
Yeah, get those little ones in bed.
Little pig, Paul. Little pig.
Come here and take your medicine. That's
I think you can have a happy ending on The Shining. I think you can do it. Yeah. I've been working on that for a few years.
I'd say check out Dr. Sleep. I think that it's a solid, you know, even if it's just for fun, it's like, you know, it's cool for Shining fans.
I'm an audiobook guy too. I'll put it on my thing and we'll see. You know, it's at the library, so I can totally.
I kind of hate vampires, but I also know that I have to read it for or listen to it or whatever for a number of reasons. Right. I thought there was a great sync that. Room 237, Rodney Asher does this documentary, Room 237, about The Shining. And then he's following it up with another documentary called The Nightmare, which is all about sleep paralysis. Then he's working on this, and Stephen King comes out with his Shining sequel, also Dr. Sleep. So, like, this weird sleep connection. And just all sorts of weird things that, like, to me, I don't know. I know it's got to be interesting. Even the vampire thing, like I said, I'm not into vampires, but Mark O'Clair's got a whole theory that Eyes Wide Shut, everyone in Eyes Wide Shut is a vampire, but it's actually, he believes it's a vampire movie. So there's just, it goes so deep that I know I have to check it out at some point.
Yeah, it's. I had a great time with it, and they don't suck blood or anything. You know,
They're not that kind of vampire.
Well, they want the ones that shine. That's all.
Okay.
Nice.
They're that kind of vampire. They're not in it for blood. They're in it for the juice.
Shining juice? Is it like Kool-Aid?
It's more like Tang.
Guys, this was awesome. Paul, I hope you know you got a. We can work out some time. If you ever want to come on, always record and talk movies and stuff, we'd love to have you on.
Cool.
And, but I think this is a great. This just to me seemed like such a perfect way to do the today's show. Was, you know. Frame it around the music, do, you know, throw a Radio 8 Ball in there, and I think we got it'll be a really nice segue between when Doug starts doing these music shows next month. So
cool. Well, I really appreciate it, and I love what you guys do, so
awesome.
thank you.
Yeah, right. Thanks so much for sharing it with us, and I'll just be in touch, you know, keep me in the loop, and we'll let you know as soon as we got this episode is ready to go. I'll cool. Be sure to let you know.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You too, man. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.